Initialize sequence now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for The Video Freaks.
Hello, freaks!
Russian roulette is bareback sex with six chicks and one of them has AIDS.
Ooh, Hustler magazine. I finally get to see what a vagina looks. Oh God! Oh my God!
You don't have to do any work. Walk in and sit down. But you call yourself stupid for 2 hours.
And any guest you can get on this show, you should consider a special guest.
I'm a horrible fucking human being. I'm seriously going to hell.
Brian, why does everything you touch turn to garbage?
We're completely just fucking self-destructing. Welcome to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. I'm Ryan, along with my good pal, Choni.
Hello.
And we got another great show for you, my friends. Very good friend of the show. Always great to us every time he stops by. And just all around great guy. You don't see a lot of great guys in the entertainment industry, but this guy truly is the genuine article. He is a really, really nice guy. On and off the air, and he's going to swing by tonight. He'll be headlining Helium here in Philly for the weekend. He's doing shows tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our good pal Adam Ferrara will be on the show in just a few minutes. Maybe we'll have an update on Top Gear. I know he has something that he can't talk about, but I don't know if maybe we can weasel something out of him. I don't know.
We could try. Get an exclusive.
Yeah, we could try. It's not going to happen, but we can try.
I doubt it. We're not that good. Let's be honest. We're just not that good.
He's a good friend of the show, but we're not that good.
Can you say that one more time?
He's a great guy. It just... there's, you know, it's negotiations. You can't talk about negotiations. We know that.
Okay, can you mark down where we both just said we're not that good and put it in the intro? Perfect.
You have to do it with the bed out, without the bed.
That's true.
And then on the second half of the show, the beautiful Naomi Banks will be joining us. She's going to be talking about her show. Chocolate Radio, and also some fashion show that she's going to be doing at Exotica with her clothing line. So we'll talk to her about that. If you would like to call the show tonight, you can do that by dialing the hotline 951-FREAKS0. That's 951-373-2570. If you are on social media, which who's not on social media these days?
I am barely.
Are you really?
I mean, besides Twitter, I mean, that's all I have.
But you're on Twitter fairly frequently.
Sure.
That's
getting pretty. It's starting to slowly get shitty.
I wish you were on Facebook still, because there's stuff that I would love to show you on Facebook that I just can't share with you because you're not on Facebook.
I like it that way. I don't want to see your silly videos that somebody posted.
No. I belong to some really just fucking raunchy and wrong groups on Facebook that I think you would fit in perfectly with.
I don't know. I can't do it. It's been over 2 years now I haven't had a Facebook, and it's been lovely. I highly suggest anyone out there who's even on the fence about it, just delete it. Your life gets so much better.
I belong to a group called the Malicious Meme Lounge, if that gives you any idea.
Oh, cool.
So.
The MML. Oh.
Awful, just awful, disgusting fucking memes, and there's no filter.
Don't say that.
So.
Don't say no filter in front of me.
Boy, do you and I need to have a talk.
Yeah, I know. It hasn't even been on my radar in a while.
But I had a conversation last night. Boy, do you and I need to have a talk.
Oh, I can't wait.
If
inside
you are
jokes,
on,
inside jokes.
If you're on social media and you're on Facebook, throw us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/theradiofreaks. If you're on Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/theradiofreaks. You can follow Tony on Twitter @trashcanlives.
Please.
And follow me @woodfloorlicker. And Tony's other project, The Bastardist, @Bastardist on Twitter.
Yes.
Going
swimmingly.
Well, that's good,
I guess.
Is that sarcasm or is that?
No, no. It's just, you know, oh. I still got to find some reliable people, but, you know, it is what it is.
Gotcha.
It's just difficult. You know, we lucked out. You lucked out with finding me.
All right.
To be completely honest, you did. I mean, I'm reliable every Wednesday at a certain time. You know what I mean?
Most Wednesdays at 3 minutes before we start, yes.
But I am here.
Most Wednesdays.
And I'm, shut up. It's been a while since I've canceled. It's just difficult to start a podcast and find somebody who actually wants to.
It really is.
You know what I mean?
It really is. And then when they do show up, that they are contributing something to the show and not just...
Yeah, it's kind of there almost should be a job application when you're trying to find somebody. Like I always say, you know, everybody wants to do a podcast with their friends and they think they're funny and good at it immediately. And it just doesn't work that way.
And stuff that you talk about at the bar does not always translate to a good podcast.
Stuff that we talk about on this podcast doesn't even translate into a good podcast.
Nope, not all the time.
We saw it last week with Brett Ernst, who completely said the half of the first segment was boring as shit.
Well, because I was talking about boring shit, and I was trying not to do what we all knew I was going to do, and that's talk about politics with him.
Yeah, I know.
So
it was just funny he called you out on it.
Yes. He knows that I'm going to just wind him up and turn him loose, and I tried to avoid it, and it just he called me out on it. So
yeah,
sponsors. So
there's a sound clip we can pull from him saying something.
Yes, sponsors. Check out DallasNovelty.com. Sex is for everybody. If you're looking for something to spice up your love life, if you have an anniversary or something like I do that is being celebrated, then you need something to spice up your love life, go to DallasNovelty.com, and you can find pretty much everything you're looking for, from videos to toys to whatever it is. And if they don't have it, they will try and find it for you.
Erotic coloring books.
Yes. Those are big right now. And they
got everything.
They have those, too.
They literally have everything.
We will save you a few bucks also. Not only will you get 15% off your entire order by entering code word FREAKS at checkout, that's FREAKS, but also if you order $50 or more, you will also get the free VIP shipping discreet to your door, available just for you. So go check it out, DallasNovelty.com. Enter in code word FREAKS for your 15% off. And then also theroadcode.com, car shopping simplified, online vehicle marketplace with an emphasis on quality used cars. If you're looking for a used car, can't afford a new one, I know tax season's here. Everybody gets really, really luxurious with their ride during tax season, and then it gets repoed in May. But if you want to be smart about it, go get a used car. And they have some good ones at theroadcode.com. So go check them out.
Do it.
Do it. So.
Yes.
As I alluded to earlier, not to be self-flagellating, but today's my anniversary.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
To you and yours.
9 years she's put up with my horseshit.
Oh.
March 1st.
Glad to see you're still being the masculine one in the relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I not. Made her. I made her. what do you mean not? I went out and got her several dozen roses and a nice card.
Wow, real original.
And we made. Look.
And what, you made out for a few hours? God, what are you, in high school?
Maybe. and we made dinner together. We made a really nice dinner, one of our favorite dinners. We made it together. So,
was it a whole cow? I'm sorry. You know I love you, Bri.
It was London Broil, but no, it wasn't.
Literally the entire city of London.
Motherfucker. Yes, I torched the entire city of London.
You can't set me up this easy, too.
I know. I can't. So, yeah, I had a very nice time.
Well, yeah, it's great. Sure.
And I also announced today that I officially got that job that I was looking to get. So,
wow.
Starting March 13th, I will be gainfully employed.
That's great to hear.
Well, not that I wasn't gainfully employed already, but this is a second job. So,
well, it's glad to hear that your life is going the way you want it to.
Not so much over on that side, huh?
No. Got nothing going on.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Play Xbox all day.
I did get your friend request and added you. And you know, it's funny that you get Tony, a request from Tony on Xbox Live by just being the word fag in there. He didn't even actually send me the friend request. He just messaged me and said fag.
Yeah, that's how I talk to everybody on there.
Yeah. Didn't even get the friend request. I just got the note that said fag. So I added you.
Yeah, I'll have to play something together.
Yes. With ourselves.
What?
Huh?
Got Battlefield 1? What do you got?
I don't know. But if you look at each other's, if you look at my profile, it'll tell you what games we have in common.
Okay. So, well, maybe I'll do that one day.
The Call of Duty I have. I have to get the new one.
I had to take a break today. I was playing way too fucking much.
Really?
Oh, my God. I wore myself out. I mean, I just bought it, and then I have been playing it pretty much nonstop since.
What were you playing?
Oh, NHL 17, mainly. I also got I downloaded Mad Max, the game, because I wanted to play that for a very long time.
Right.
It's actually really good. It's a really cool, well-done game.
I guess it's based on the new iteration of that.
Kind of. It seems like a mixture of the two, but it's the way it looks, and it's more like the newer one, yeah.
Hmm.
It's really good, though. It's actually really fun. If that was going to be really boring, you drive around and fucking just do shit, collect scrap and all this stuff, but it's actually a really fun game.
Nice.
Yeah. There's no online, though, which I hope maybe, I don't know. I don't follow gaming news. I feel fucking nerdy as shit just talking about it.
I like the online multiplayer stuff. I do.
Yeah, it will be cool because, dude, the map is huge and you're just driving around the desert and, you just fucking make your car fucking sweet like in the movie and you can just bash other cars and steal, it's great.
Nice.
But it'd be cool if you could, if they came up with an online version so you could, you just got tons of people. It'd be like Grand Theft Auto, but Mad Max almost.
Hmm.
But who knows? They probably aren't going to. I'm guessing if I Googled it right now, they probably aren't continuing that franchise. It was probably a one-off. Probably, I don't think it did very well.
I think it's probably, if I had to guess, probably like Red Dead Redemption, where it's just like an open...
pretty much, yeah. But again, Mad Max, kind of. Which is cool. I don't know. Super interesting, I know.
Well,
but yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Nice.
Did you want... What else is going on in the world? Everyone's talking about Donald Trump's speech.
I watched bits of it last night.
The Oscars.
No.
Is that last week or this week? I don't even remember. That was this Sunday, right?
I think it was this past Sunday, yeah. I honestly... And this is not just me saying this. I honestly couldn't tell you.
I know. I was watching Walking Dead. I wasn't even...
That's how much I give a shit. And that's another thing, too. I've never seen an episode of The Walking Dead.
Part of me feels obligated to watch stupid shit like that everyone's talking about. But part of me is like, why? Hear it through the grapevine from everyone else.
It's not so much that with The Walking Dead. It's not so much trying to buck the norm. It's just that zombies are not my thing.
Oh, no, I was talking about the Oscars and shit like that. Like all the pop culture bullshit that everyone's fucking talking about. And obviously, again, I don't need to get political, but we all know what the Oscars and Grammys were. It was just a bash Donald Trump fest and bash Republicans fest, and white men are terrible, and we got it. We know. It's okay. I'm sorry. But again, I'll hear it from everybody else. So why the fuck do I need to feel, like, learn about it by watching it myself? I'll hear everything I need to know.
Right.
The next day. Why would I waste my time? Why would I give them ratings? I'm really making a brave stance, I know.
Yeah, I don't indulge most of that horse shit unless it happens to be on and Debbie's watching it, then I'll watch it or something like that. But for the most part,
you wouldn't yell at her and tell her what the fuck are you, like, I would yell at my chick and be like, turn that shit off.
No, why would I yell at her?
Why not?
If that's what she wants to watch, fuck it. I'm not gonna tell her what she needs to watch.
Yeah, it's fine, but
I, like, don't have to be forced to watch it.
Tell her, turn that horse shit off. It's melting your brain.
I just, you know what it is? I don't.
Unless she's doing show prep for our show.
I don't give a shit what she's watching. I'll go into another room and watch something else.
I guess. I guess I just like yelling at my chick. I don't know.
I guess.
It's fun for me.
As somebody who's been married for 10 years or married for 9 years and with my chick for 11, maybe some compromise. Not a terrible thing.
Yeah, maybe you just got beaten down for 10 years and now, nope, you just finally gave up.
Really? Me of all people, you're going to say that about? I think not, my friend.
I don't know.
Me of all people.
What about what
with the
you
relationship that I have with my wife?
No, you do have a pretty good one. Uh-huh. But who wears the pants really in that relationship? I would say her.
Why? You don't even know her.
I don't need to.
Because what? I can't be a nice guy and not be a pussy?
I never said you were a pussy.
You're implying it.
That's your own interpretation.
I know you and how you probably mean it.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. However, I mean, you know, I have heard her come downstairs and tell you, hey, it's time to come upstairs.
No, you have not. Never once.
What? Yes, I
not so. Not once you have ever heard her say that.
I don't know. I don't know.
Never.
God, and then she won't even let you do another show once a week?
What?
That's what you said.
No, I didn't say that. I said she probably would not be happy if I did. However, I never said that I couldn't do it.
Well, and that's when you say, you know what, woman? Get back in the kitchen and start rattling those pots and pans because I'm doing another goddamn show.
Yeah. Is that what I say?
Just try it out. See how it goes. I want to know.
I'm pretty sure I would wind up in the hospital, and not because my body hates me like usual, but it would be domestic abuse.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, it'd be good. It's a good thing, though, because as everybody knows, you're an EMT, so you could just drive yourself.
I would drive myself, but that doesn't mean that I need to poke the bear.
Well, she'd be punching a big giant bear. Yes.
Just because you feel that you need to be misogynistic does not mean that that's how regular relationships work.
Well. I'm completely okay. Maybe I'm a little misogynistic.
A little?
Besides my chick, I am. I mean, like, I'm not misogynistic to her. I mean, I was before we started dating, but that's how I got her. I mean, it does work if you're decent at it.
Uh-huh. If you say so.
People must think I'm just beating my chick off.
I'm starting to wonder myself.
Really? Get back upstairs, bitch. Sorry, she was trying to come downstairs.
Yeah, was she?
No. Theater of the mind. I'm not
the only
good.
One you have control over in that house is Patrice.
Yeah, I know. It's true. That is the only pussy I can grab. See, because Donald Trump's the president.
Anyway. Well, let's switch gears, shall we?
Can we get a real man on the phone, please?
Yeah, and speaking of, because certainly not you or me. He, as I said earlier in the show,
with some bowls.
As I said at the top of the show, one of our favorites. He's always been awesome to us, and one of the most genuine guys in the industry. You know him from Top Gear, Nurse Jackie, and a bunch of other stuff. Our good pal Adam Ferrara. How are you, sir?
Get upstairs, bitch.
That's right.
Be honest. Your wife would kick your ass, no?
I would kick my ass. Thank you. Are you kidding me? You don't talk to someone you love that way. What
exactly.
All I was going to say was like, oh, what are you two romantics talking about on a one-day?
Today's my
first word. When I chimed in, get upstairs, bitch. I'm like, oh, these guys have learned nothing.
You gotta school these young bucks, Adam. It's my anniversary today, and I told him that you have to have a symbiotic relationship where you work together at things. He asked who wears the pants. I said, we both do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the best thing I ever did, you met my wife. Come
yes.
on, let's be honest, boys. I'm batting way over my head.
Oh, totally yes.
kidding.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely stunning. And just as, and you know what? She had to be that beautiful because I'm an idiot. You know, I really think my wife is that beautiful. It's like God's way of saying, schmuck, how high I got to burn this bush? You know? If you don't get it, you're living alone the rest of your life.
Yeah. You really lucked out. Alex is a wonderful, wonderful woman, and you really did. You married way above your head.
I know. And you know what? The biggest thing was accepting someone like that actually, you know, loves you. That's the biggest thing.
That's my biggest issue, too, is that I could never believe that somebody as hot as, you know, your wife or my wife would ever fall for me.
Yeah. I think that's what makes
it. What was
that?
Self-identity stuff. I think that's, you know, that's like, okay, it's accepting that. When you look back, and like I went back to, I met some people, I went back and saw some people I went to high school with.
Right.
And one of the hot girls said, I always had a crush on you. And I'm like, ah, stop it. Who are you kidding? You
know? That's what I always do, too, is I kick myself after the fact when they finally admit these things. I'm like, stop. You're lying to me. Stop. You're just trying to make me feel good.
Yeah,
there's no fucking way.
We should all try and spend time in the self-esteem room.
Well, I tuned in last night to your Facebook Live thing that you do, which is Talk to Me Tuesdays on your Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
And very cool. Right. I'm sorry to hear that you're under the weather. But I'm very excited to see if we can squeeze a little bit more information out of you. I won't give away what you said on your show. I'll let you say
the
it.
The mucus is not green. It's a little yellow, I'm concerned. The sore throat is kind of a... Because I called my mother. I said, Mom, I'm not feeling it. Spit something up. What? I'll wait.
So it's not quite... You're not dying. Let's put it that way. That's good.
No.
You are in talks was really all you were able to say last night.
The three of us still love each other and want to do something, and now there's people in suits that think it's a good idea.
Ah.
So we're putting something together, and as soon as I'm allowed to say something, I certainly will. But the fact that we still want to do it, because that's the thing. I mean, there's still stories to tell. You know,
sure.
We're still in a show. We still want to be together and do all that dopey stuff. And I think that's what drives the show. And that was our goal from the beginning. I mean, we didn't know each other. You know, we spent a couple of months getting to know each other in like quick rehearsals, like just to see if we had any chemistry. And we did. And we all kind of sat down and said, well, if we can capture what those guys have, because we never wanted to do a ripoff of the show, if we can capture what those guys have,
sure,
that genuine friendship, adventure, we got it. And we did. I mean, we lived together on the road because, you know, it's a travel show. We're always in some city or some different country, and we have breakfast together, lunch and dinner together.
Nice.
So we're always eating at the hotel, and then lunch is you're eating in the back of a truck somewhere.
Right.
And then we'll go to dinner together, all of us. We play credit card roulette, and always pisses Rudd off because he, for some reason, he gets nailed a lot. but we choose to do that. We genuinely, you know, care for each other. So
you can't spend that much time with two other guys and not enjoy their company. Otherwise, it would get old real quick.
Well, you can, and you're going to kill them. I mean, we knew when we found the show in the first season. The first season we went to. Alaska together, and we were 6 days in a glacier sleeping in the back of trucks together. And I figured, all right, we're either going to find the show here, we're going to bond and find it, or we're going to kill each other, and that'll be it.
Right.
So, but we did. We found the show, and it's a lot of fun.
And it's not fake either, because you can tell from the replacement hosts. And look, I'm not saying Adam is saying any of this. This is Brian, the host, saying all of this. But with the replacements for the original cast on the UK version with Matt LeBlanc and everything, you can tell when people don't like each other. And
the chemistry really there's an authenticity to it, you know, and that's what's got to come across. It doesn't have to come across. In our case, that's what, you know, that's what just happened to us.
Right.
Yeah, there was, I'll tell you one thing that solidified it. I went through the Eisenhower Tunnel in a Dodge Viper, and we're supposed to go hammer down through the Eisenhower Tunnel, and it's uneven pavement, and Tanner did it first in the McLaren. The McLaren's got skinnier tires than the Viper, and the suspension's a lot better, and Tanner's a professional race car driver.
Right.
So he blows through there. He blows through it about a $1.60, $1.65. On his run, and I'm next. And he said, look, that pavement's real uneven. Those tires are thick. If you catch something the wrong way, that car's going to spin right into the wall, and you're going to bounce around like a pinball, and that's going to be it. So don't go, you know, don't take it up over 100, 120. You know, just take it easy. I said, okay, fine. So I dumped the clutch, and I forgot what he said. So I just went blasting through the friggin' tunnel, and I'm rolling through the gears, and I'm redlining. I'm redlining the whole thing. And when you redline it in that Viper, a little Viper's head comes up on the tachometer.
Nice.
And that's what the redline symbol is like. So I'm just I pin the thing right through it. I come out of it. I come flying at it about $1.47. I come shooting out of the tunnel, and I come back to do the post mortem, and they're setting up the cameras. And he goes, "How fast did you go?" So I did about $1.47. He goes, "You're a fucking idiot!" He's yelling at me. He goes, "What did I tell you? What the fuck is wrong with you?" And Rutley's in and goes, "I think he's trying to tell you he loves you." And he was concerned.
That's hilarious. My other favorite things that you guys did was in the last season, where the producers decided it was a good idea to blindfold all of you and let you loose in the desert.
That's the scariest fucking thing. That
Holy
was so
shit!
Hard. That was so thing. And I knew I was in it. I knew I was in the desert. I knew there was nothing else to hit.
Right.
You know. But still, it's so freaky, and it was scary. I think I did 80. I only did like 80 miles an hour in the Z28, and I was, and it felt like I was going forever and going really fast.
Well, it's not that there's nothing in the desert to hit. There's still Rutt and Tanner and the production crew and stuff. So you got to be a little careful.
We pointed the other way, but you know, if you hit a rut, you know, if you hit a rut in the desert, not the guy, the hole,
right.
But if you hit one of those, you know, the steering's gonna kick on. You don't know how to counter steer, and so that was oddly unsettling and scary.
I'm sure. It's got to be the greatest feeling in the world to be able to do a show like that and have the chemistry that you guys have, to have a love for cars that you guys share, and just to be able to do dumb shit like that and get paid for it.
Yeah, and to make the other guys laugh. Those guys genuinely make me laugh, and I genuinely enjoy making them laugh and having a good time. It's really, I'm very grateful to have it. I really want to continue doing it. And the effect it has on the fans,
right,
is something I really enjoy. I mean, one of the things, I said this in a meeting the other day, one of the things I love was we got a tweet from this woman. She's in Oklahoma somewhere. She said, "I'm a single mother of a 13-year-old boy, and we don't, you know, we fight." He's a 13-year-old. He's a boy. He doesn't have a dad.
Right.
He goes, "This is the only time that we sit down and watch TV, and I really hope and pray that he makes friends in this world like the friendship that you guys share." And I'm like,
oh wow.
I'm going to cry. What are you doing, lady?
That's amazing.
You know, and that just got me. You know, she saw that. It affected her family. She took the time to explain her situation and it just made me feel good, because, you know, we do this shit. You don't think anyone's listening
sure.
to the show. You don't know when you reach people. And then when you hear that you reach people and it has a positive effect, it's very gratifying.
Yeah, absolutely. So any inkling as to when we can expect the Grand Tour USA?
We're at stage one. I'll tell you, we're off to a good start. We're in a so they're still putting the pieces together.
So it's golden steps.
So we gotta put everything together, and hopefully we ring the bell and we get back on the air.
Our intentions are good.
I can give you.
You know, Adam, he had mentioned he was going to try and trick you.
Shut up, bitch!
Oh, I totally deserve that. I also wish that was on speaker so my girlfriend upstairs could hear that.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Oh, man.
So I don't mean to keep prying, but I'm trying to get something. Is it going to still be Top Gear? Is it going to be something completely different? Can you say anything about it?
Just stop it.
I can't say anything about it.
Okay. All right.
I told you everything I can tell you. You'll get nothing. Now I'm the spy in a down plane in a war movie. You'll get nothing out of me, not too big.
He said before, he was going to try and get something out of you. I said, never happen.
Get Charles Bronson to dig a hole. He likes tight spaces. Put me on this pulley. I'll dig with my shoe.
Oh, shit. Well, I am excited to have you back. I said at the top of the show, and I truly mean this, you know, you mentioned that you guys have serious conversations sometimes. I cannot remember for the life of me any conversation that I've ever had with you, whether in person or on the show, where even if we tried to be serious, you have not made me just bust the gut laughing. And it's not that I don't think you're trying. It's just that's who you are. And it's genuine.
I got a lot of problems. I actually, Brian, figured this out. I don't know if I figured it out, but I noticed, that's why it happens. We all have our little, you know, anytime all of us all have, when we do, whether you're doing radio, whatever you're doing, you have your little, your instinct, your spidey sense.
Right.
I got a comic sense, you know, when there's tension in the room or when something feels uncomfortable, you know, you make a joke to relieve it. That's the comic relief for me.
Sure.
That's just the way I'm built.
Right.
And I just did an episode of Criminal Minds. I think it's March 29th it's going to air. And I played the father of a kid that got abducted. So I had, you know, the monologue, he actually breaks down. And to get to the emotional space you need to get to,
right,
you know, to be authentic and real in that moment, I got to go past those defenses, you know?
Right.
You got to go past that sense, your instinct to make a joke and diffuse everything. And so you got to be totally vulnerable and open. And, you know, and that's when all the monsters come out, you know?
Yes.
So I think in conversation, I'm not aware, you know, it just comes out. It's genuine, but I think it might be a protection kind of thing. I'm not quite sure. I just know after I do that, you know, I go home, I'm shot for the next day.
Right.
I'm a twitchy mess. And my wife knows that, you know, I'm emotionally just putting myself back together. And you know, she's patient and loving and caring. You know, like I said, the best part of my life. But I know, part, I can see it in her eyes. You're like, hey, Hamlet, can you do a friggin' comedy tomorrow? I've had enough. <You know?
laughs> Alex seems to be one of your biggest supporters when it comes to really anything you do. I mean, she kind of produces your Facebook Live shows. She travels to all these different places with you, too. And it's great to have somebody that's as supportive as she is.
That's the best part of my life, man. She makes, you know, she believes in me. And I'll be honest with you, fellas, I don't need that kind of pressure.
I'm like,
oh, this beautiful woman loves and believes in me. I got to be the best man I can be. Ah,
That truly is rough.
That comes with marrying above our heads, my friend. That's part of it, part and parcel with the deal.
It's the difference. I mean, for me, it was like, you know, when you go through relationships and stuff, I learned when I met my wife is you know, when relationships get tough, you go through it. And it's a series. It's always a series of peaks and valleys. But I learned the difference between have to and want to. And right now, we're still my wife. We've been together 11 years. It's still, I want to make her life better, and I want to do this stuff. And if that means I got to look at the monsters and be a better guy, all right. I'm not going to like it, but I want to do it.
You got to do something really cool, and I think it just came out the end of last month. And I started watching it last night, and then I didn't get a chance to finish it. But I'm going to plan on watching the rest of it tonight. There was a great movie that you just did with Gina Gershon and Ralph Macchio called Lost Cat Corona.
And, oh, yeah. Paul Sorvino was in that, too. Yeah.
Yes. And I just, the whole beginning of it, I really enjoyed the premise of that he's looking for his cat this entire time, and then it branches off into this whole other thing.
Yeah.
Give me an idea of what made you want to do this with Ralph Macchio? I mean, aside from the fact that, fuck, it's Ralph Macchio.
Oh, they sent me the script. I read the script. It was fun. It was fun because it was like one of those screwball comedies.
Right.
You know, and I got to play a different cop. And he was one of those guys I grew up with. You know, he was one of those. I didn't have the nerve to be that guy as a kid.
Right.
You know, like the guy like, yeah, look, okay, there's rules. And there's black and white, but there's also gray. It's gray, you know. And the way they would reason shit out was always amazing to me. I love the way they were trying to sell something bad for you in a charming way. Those characters were always in my life. My Uncle Tony was one of those guys. And the scene I really loved was he's trying to make money any way he can because he owes this loan shark money, and they're coming after him. So his father dies. And he's in the funeral parlor, and he's trying to talk the guy into, look, you don't have to bury him in that box. We recycle it. He's dead. What are you worried about? Did he catch a cold? And that scene made me laugh. I go, oh, that's fun. Good for the planet. No, you put him in the ground. It feeds the flowers.
They're actually coming up with shit like
that.
They're coming up with shit that like that these days, where they'll sell you these urns, these biodegradable urns, where you can turn into a tree after you die and shit like that.
Yeah, it's stuff like that, but just the rationale and many turns to see the package. You get the turns on the guy. He actually says, "You tell me you don't recycle. How many funerals those flowers been to out there?" I love that guy for that.
That's funny.
And one of the funniest things is, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but it was like there was a scene where I got to drive this pickup truck, and we're escaping from a thing that we did together
with the mask.
So I
got to
pull away.
Yes.
Yeah. So I got to pull away really fast, and I told the director, you know, it was a nice, it was a brand new truck that the guy drove. It was a Ram 1500.
Right.
And I looked at the director, and Ralph was in the car. I said, he goes, okay, you guys just pull away for this shot. I said, okay, you want sound and fury? And he went, yeah. So I took the traction control and I smoked the tires and slid the corner. And he went, cut! What the fuck? I said, I asked you, sound and fury. He's like, I don't know what that meant.
It seems like a reoccurring problem for you, Adam. You just get in a car and someone's yelling, what the fuck?
Yeah. So we had to reshoot it because the camera guys didn't get it. I said, I'll tone it down.
Nice.
It was fun because Ralph was like, what the hell are you doing? You know?
Did you guys know each other growing up? Because you're both Long Island guys and you're only about 4 years apart.
No, I had never met him. I met him and it was... I met him the first day. We had our first team together. And,
nice.
You know, where you're from, blah, blah, blah. I made a Dairy Barn joke from Long Island, which is Dairy Barn with these little red barns you could drive through. And it's a deli. You drive through the deli and you can get milk and stuff without getting out of your car. And I made a joke, and he laughed, and he made me laugh. And we were friends in 2 minutes.
Nice.
And it was great because I'm in the whole second act with him, and we shot our stuff in about 5 days. We were together every day, you know, 12, 14-hour days for 5 days. And he's really, really a sweet man, and I really enjoyed spending time with him. And, you know, we text once in a while, and it was really fun. And he's out in he's still out in Long Island. So
he seems like one of those guys that he didn't expect. And obviously, I've never met him, but from seeing interviews and stuff like that, he seems like one of those guys that just was not expecting Karate Kid to be the cult classic it was, and doesn't quite know how to handle the adulation that he receives.
Yeah, well, he seems like he's a very down to earth guy.
He was also in
The Outsiders.
Yep.
You know,
a lot of great movies. My cousin Vinny.
Steve Vai.
Yeah.
My cousin Vinny and the movie with Steve Vai. What was the blues movie with Steve Vai? The Delta Blues guy. It was great, and he's got that Telecaster. I asked him. He said, "Yeah, I got that Telecaster." I'm like, oh. He's also got the truck from Karate Kid. He's got the yellow pickup.
Oh, wow.
We were talking cars and stuff. You know, I think after I did that, he goes, "You into cars?" I go, "Yeah, a little bit." I'm on the show, and he goes, "Oh, I got the truck." Like, oh, it's great.
That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, he's a really nice man, and I was very lucky to work with him. I wanted to do something with Sorvino. I didn't have any scenes with Paul Sorvino. And David Zayas, I know him. I haven't seen him in years, the guy from Dexter.
Yes.
I wanted to do something with him. But it was just me and Ralph for the most part.
He's a great actor, too, David Zayas. He's been in a few things that I love.
Yeah. You know who else is in the movie, plays a priest? Mookie Wilson.
Wow. No shit.
Yeah, it was great. And we were staying at the hotel, and Mookie was in the hotel.
Wow.
We were all staying, and the director started talking to him. He's a Mets fan. And he's like, "You want to be in the movie?" And Mookie goes, "Yeah."
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Mookie Wilson was there.
New York City one day, and I think I was coming from SiriusXM. I was up at SiriusXM one day, and I saw Doc Gooden walked right past me on the streets of New York City. I'm like, holy shit, that's Doc Gooden. You just never know who you're going to run into. It's crazy, especially up in New York. But I said this at the top of the show, and I meant it, and I, you know, kind of talking about Ralph Macchio reminds me. You, sir, have been a great friend to the show, and I appreciate everything. You really have been one of the most genuine guys that we've dealt with, and we count you among our valued friends here, and we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, pal. It's always good talking to you guys.
But you're doing 6 shows at Helium. You're doing Thursday, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. You're doing Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock, and then you're doing a Sunday show for the Slackers. I heard it's really, really selling well, and that's probably why they added the Sunday show. I think most of the other shows might be close to sold out. So,
well, that'll be good. I know I'm doing. Philly's one of my favorite cities. I really enjoy coming here. So I'm glad people come out and see me. I'm glad I get to talk to you every time I'm here too, my friend. So thank you very much.
No problem. And of course, if there's anything that you need while you're in town, please absolutely let me know. I'll be happy to help you out. But I'm really looking forward.
Sounds good, pal.
Huh?
I said, sounds good, pal. Did I break up? I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm really looking forward to finishing this movie. It's not just because you're in it, but that's a big plus. It's just this whole cast is really a cool-looking cast. And if you want to watch it, too, you can watch it. It's up on Amazon, iTunes, and it's available on Vimeo on demand. If you go to Adam's Twitter account, at Adam Ferrara, there's a link for it right on the Twitter account.
Yeah, and I missed it. It was in the theater. It was in the theater a week ago, and I was in like select cities, like New York, I think it was, and they all went down to do it, but I was on the road. I couldn't do it.
Nice.
That would have been fun. I remember the first time I ever saw myself in a movie on a big screen. It was at the Ziegfeld. It was, what the hell was the name of that movie? Oh, it was Ryan Reynolds. Definitely Maybe was the name of the movie.
Right.
So we go
right
to the premiere. I had never been in a big, you know, studio film, whole big theater thing, and I'm sitting there, and Ryan Reynolds is on the screen. And now that's a handsome man.
Yes.
I don't care where your mail is delivered. That's a handsome man.
Yes.
Agreed.
But he's on the screen. I make my entrance, and we're in a two-shot, and all I could look at is my mole is the size of a manhole cover. I'm like, oh, my God. Look at that friggin' ring-ding on my face. And I'm digging my hands into the seats, and I'm sinking down in the seat, and my wife elbows me and goes, "Would you stop being an actor for 5 minutes and sit up? People are looking." Okay.
That's awesome.
That was the day I made a joke. I made a joke on the, I think for Entertainment Tonight, on the, there was a Valentine's Day premiere. And my wife is all dolled up. She's looking gorgeous. And it's February in New York, so we got, you know, we're bundled up, and she's next to me, and in Entertainment Tonight is interviewing me. It's a real romantic setting, light snow and everything.
Right.
And she goes, "Is this a great way to celebrate? Would you recommend this to celebrate? Is this a great way to celebrate Valentine's Day?" And they give me the microphone. And I go, "Well, yeah, it's better than going to a garage in Chicago." Nobody got it. Dead silence. The joke died.
Wow.
I walked over. My wife just looks at me and goes, "Just smile and stop being a comic." The hell is wrong with you?
Oh, that's funny. It's rare that you don't tell a joke and people don't get it. That's got to be a rare thing.
But she was just staring. Well, it wasn't joke time. You know, it was actor. It was a pleasure to be nominated. You know, that
right,
kind of
right,
crap,
right.
You know,
but you can't help yourself.
They're looking for "It's a wonderful night out. I loved everybody, the writers, you know, Ryan and I." That kind of bullshit.
Right.
I just went into comic mode, and my wife was like, "Okay, keep walking. Don't look back. Keep walking."
Oh, that's fucking hysterical. You are doing the, for those that didn't catch how to go see Adam do these, every Tuesday around 7, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 o'clock. Yeah, it's 6 o'clock Pacific. It's 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Just go to my Facebook page.
Okay.
It's called Talk to Me Tuesday, and we turn the cameras on, and we've got a bunch of like 8,000 people on that come and just say hello. And it's pretty much, "How was your week?" And people, you know, we check in with everybody. We got a bunch of regulars that come back, and I'm amazed at the people that come back every week and the connections that I have with it. There's a guy, his name is Dan, that's making me a guitar.
Wow.
He's making me an electric guitar. It's stunning. He's sending me pictures right now. It's this beautiful Z-body guitar. He asked me, he's putting humbuckers in it. He's asked me, what paint job do I want? So I said, "Can you do the Gulf livery?" So he's going to take the Gulf livery race car from the GT40.
Right.
And he's going to paint that on the car.
Wow.
And the guy, he's an artist, and he just wants to share his art with me. And I'm like, wow, you know, you see how that. And the guy said he hasn't made a guitar in a while, and I said, "Enjoy every minute of this." You know, he's sending me pictures, and it's very humbling and moving to be able to connect with people.
Do you play?
I'm grateful everyone comes up. I play bar band guitar. I know the beginning of every great song. You know,
right?
And then I make up the rest of it. So it's just bar band class. Yeah.
You could fill in for Rotgut if you needed to, but not professionally.
Yeah, and Joe, and all the cool songs I know, Joe Buck showed me. So Joe was the one that showed me everything, you know.
Nice.
So, and I haven't played in years, and I got two Strats too. I got it's like my wife.
Wow.
I have guitars back over my head. I got two American made Strats. I got an Olympic white Clapton Strat in New York that my buddy gave me because he sold a movie script I helped ghostwrite with him. So to say thank you, he bought me a Clapton Strat.
Wow.
And I got a USA Red Strat in L.A. And I got, I think it's not a Marshall, it's a little Park amp I got. But then I got a Takamine F360, I think is the steel string in New York. And I got a nylon string out in the closet in California. So
that's a hell of a thank you for helping him write a script. Holy shit.
Yeah. He sold it. Yeah, he sold it and sent him and gave it to me. So it was really cool.
Wow.
And now you got a fan making a custom one for you. Brian, we need to start connecting with our fans more often. We really are doing a terrible job.
On the show, it's pretty much my wife just holding up the camera going, "Don't say that, you idiot. We're live."
That's funny. It's funny you say that because it's pretty much our show. Brian telling me, "Hey, shut up, stupid."
It's the combination of that and Alex telling you, "What? I can't hear you. You did something with the phone."
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's when I'm on the road. Like, we had to do last night's. We had to do from, I got off the plane. I got to the hotel. I had to dial up the internet, set everything up on the road. So it's better when she's there.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes I'm driving a car. Sometimes, you know, I feel like getting out. I'll drive my big Buick. Or I like the episode where Caddy gave me a CTS-V, and I drove it up to San Francisco. That's a great car. It's got a supercharger in it, so the gas just goes. I mean, the thing drinks like a Kennedy.
I'm sure.
So you're just filling it up with gas. But I had the supercharger, and my wife had the camera on, and we were live, and we're doing a burnout. I'm like, okay. And then I realized, oh, shit, I don't want Caddy to see me doing this, you know?
Yeah. So, you don't need encouragement to do dumb stuff sometimes.
You know. The dumb stuff comes unfettered. I need to be fettered.
Yes, yes. Sometimes we need to rein it in a little bit. I'm right there with you. I do dumb shit, too, and it gets me in trouble every single fucking time. There's never a time where it's just like, all right, that wasn't so bad. It's always 0 to 100. There's never any in between. So.
Yeah, and when it comes to, like, doing stuff in a car, like, I know just enough to get me killed. You know, I know you got to load the suspension. You load the suspension. You let the car come around. You accelerate. I know what has to happen.
Right.
But, you know, at such speeds, you don't. I did a commercial for Jaguar. And I wrote these commercials, and, you know, part of commercials, I slide the corner.
Sure.
So, you know, I slid the XF. So, you know, I slid it in second gear, which is just third gear I can't slide. So second gear, I they used my in-car footage when I slid the corner. It was ugly, but I did it. Yeah, it was ugly.
Nice.
So, and like I said, I know enough. I just don't have enough track time, you know, to make it work.
Well.
But it's fun.
Please go see our good friend Adam Ferrara. I will be down this weekend, my friend. So I will look forward.
I will look forward to it, my friend.
But go check out Adam this weekend at Helium. He'll be there tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Friday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Saturday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. And then a rare Sunday show at 7:30. Uh-huh. For more information and tickets, 215-496-9001, or go to heliumcomedy.com for tickets. You can check out Lost Cat Corona on Amazon, iTunes, and Vimeo on demand. And if you're not able to make it to Helium and you're up in the North Jersey, New York area, Adam's going to be at Levity Live in West Nyack from the 24th through the 26th. So go check him out over there. And for more dates and other things,
Tuesday night.
Huh? Yeah.
Tuesday night, come and talk to me Tuesday on Facebook, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yes.
6 o'clock Pacific.
Check out the...
Criminal Minds airs the 29th of March.
I'm looking forward to that. Debbie watches Criminal Minds. I don't normally watch it, but I'm definitely going to watch that episode with her. So I'm excited for that. And go check out the website, adamferrara.com, for more information and more tour dates. And follow him on Twitter, at Adam Ferrara. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it every time you come on.
Good to talk to you, fellas.
All right, brother. I'll see you this weekend. Take care.
You got it.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Adam Ferrara, ladies and gentlemen.
Get off the show, bitch. I wanted to say it, but I just couldn't. I just couldn't do it. I know he would have loved it, but I couldn't.
Oh, don't worry. I'll play that for him when I see him this week.
It was in my head, but you were doing the plugs, and then I know we're close to time for the break, so.
Oh,
you know.
That's funny.
I wanted to do it so bad, but I'm too nice.
Least you know how to pick your battles.
But I think he would have liked it. Come on.
Yes, he would have. All right, folks, stay tuned. That was our pal Adam Ferrara. Next up, we've got the beautiful Naomi Banks, who will tell us about her fashion show and her intimate lingerie apparel line that she's going to be debuting at Exotica in Denver. And then she will be doing a fashion show at all three Exotica events this year. And we'll talk to her about her podcast, Chocolate Radio, which is live every Tuesday night. So stay tuned. This is the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. After these messages.
We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Adam Ferrara from Rescue Me, and can you smell that? I know you can hear the Radio Freaks at RadioFreaks.tv, but I can actually smell them. Yep, now they're offending two of my senses.
Want to stay up on what's going on with the show? Like the Facebook page at Facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks and follow the show on Twitter at Twitter.com/TheRadioFreaks.
Yo, 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 damn son, I was here to talk to you about Bro Flowers. Yeah, that's right, broflowers.com. If you needs to get Valentine's Day flowers for your mama, your baby mama, your shorty, or your secretary, broflowers.com is the place to go. Shit, we get you the freshest flowers money can buy. We use our assorted network of growers such as hospitals, churches, cemeteries, nursing homes, and those fucking gas stations where you could buy a rose for a dollar and shit. We use all them to cut out the middleman and give you the best prices in town, son. Shit, we ain't kidding around. And yo, if you act today and enter in code word Obama when you place your order, you gonna get a free, that's right, a free vase courtesy of Maxwell House, son. Yeah, shit. Broflowers.com. When you got to get the best flowers for Valentine's Day.
Hey, this is your old pal, Dr. Steve, here to tell you about my show, Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. I have a traditional Chinese medical doctor as my partner. What an asshole. So listen to Weird Medicine, Saturday, 10 p.m. on the East, 7 p.m. on the West. On Sirius 206, XM 103, Opie Radio.
Hey guys, it's your friend Dr. Scott from the Weird Medicine Show with Dr. Steve. A quick reminder that if you're like the rest of us, stressed out, worn out, and looking for a safe and effective convenient alternative, give My Simply Herbals a try. Fatigue Reprieve will give you the boost of energy without all of the sugar or caffeine, stress less, lowers anxiety and tension in a subtle but powerful way. The perfect stress-reducing formula. Give My Simply Herbals a try at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net.
Being an Olympian takes grit. It takes determination. And in the case of U.S. volleyball player Destiny Hooker, it takes dealing with a lot of douchebags making fun of her name. Leave her alone, douchebags. It's not funny. Well, okay, it's kind of funny. Destiny Hooker. I take it back. That's really funny. Visa. Proud sponsor of the Olympics for 25 years.
Has this ever happened to you? Well, not anymore. Say goodbye to all of your masturbatory dilemmas with new Jizz Hands from Jerkins. Made with a super absorbent space age polymer, Jizz Hands can handle any load you throw its way. Oh, brother, that tissue will never work. But no matter how many money shots Jizz Hands take, they will not harden. This isn't your daddy's semen receptacle. But wait, there's more! Warm them in the microwave for some cozy putt-pulling. And after you're done blowing that big wad, just toss it in the dishwasher for easy cleanup. Hey ladies, dreading another carpal tunnel-inducing hand job? Huzzah! Try Jizz Hands on for size and for jerking him off. Whether you're a one-a-dayer or you just found daddy's porn collection, say goodbye to your old crusty spooge rags and say hello, Dolly, to new Jizz Hands.
If you missed any part of the show, download it.
Shit, I could download it? Tell me where, announcer guy, I'm confused.
You can listen to the Radio Freaks every week right from your smartphone. Check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, both available in the Apple Store and Google Play.
Reverend Apostle BG here with a great new product that's going to change your life. Are you falling asleep at the wheel? Are you getting tired at work? Do you want the same stamina that Christ himself had while hanging up on the cross? You don't have to worry about getting nails in your hands or feet or getting whipped to death. All you got to worry about is getting through a goddamn work week. And now you can with Dr. Singer Dick's Body of Christ. This is 100% Yahweh protein. You will get the lean muscle mass that Jesus Christ himself had. But don't take my word for it. Here's Dr. Singer Dick to tell you more.
Hello, everybody. I am Dr. Singer Dick, and this is a great new product. It is filled with a lot of nutraceuticals. I don't know what nutraceuticals are, but I know that they're good, and they make your body tickle. You will start to feel the tingle, and after a couple of weeks, you'll experience orgasm and muscle mass build up like you've never known before. Also, you don't have to take it with water. You can just dump the powder right down your gullet. I don't give a shit.
Right now, we have a great holiday special where you can get one bottle of Dr. Singer Dick's Body of Christ for just 10 easy payments of $79.88. And if you order now, call now, call now, I will throw in a bottle of Maximum Strength Jehovah's Weight Loss with 50 billion parabens per capsule. I don't know what a paraben is. It doesn't matter. The point is, get yourself the Body of Christ, Dr. Singer Dick's Body of Christ. Get it now and experience weight loss and muscle mass like Christ himself.
They said Michael Phelps would never succeed as a swimmer. They were wrong. They said Michael Phelps would never win gold. They were wrong. They said Michael Phelps would never smoke a doob the size of a baby arm. They were wrong. Visa, proud sponsor of the Olympics for 25 years.
I'm Vinny Brand, and this is the world-famous Stress Factory Comedy Club. Every single weekend, right here in New Brunswick, the biggest names in the business. Get some great food and a cold beer, and you'll see the best stand-up comics the country has to offer. Log on to StressFactory.com to buy your tickets and check out all the best show information. Or call us at 732-545-4242. The Stress Factory. Your friends are right. This place is great.
When my mom is a b***, my daddy goes to EsleyMedicine.com. There he can lots of other women. When I grow up, I'm going to be an Esley Medicine man. Because my daddy's raising me without any moral compass whatsoever. Esley Medicine, find your lovers here. Why exactly are we singing this? Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
Hi, this is Tori Lane, and you're listening to the Radio Freaks at radiofreaks.tv.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks. If you missed the first half of the show, Brian flubbed his way through an interview with someone famous. If you'd like to participate in the show tonight, call 951-373-2570. That's 951-FREAKS-0. Now, back to the show for more of the same shit you used to.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. If you're just tuning in, you just missed our good pal, Adam Ferrara, who will be headlining at Helium Comedy Club this weekend for 6 shows. Go see him tomorrow night, Thursday, 8 o'clock, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock, and then Sunday, March 5th, for a 7:30 show, which was just added. For more information, go to heliumcomedy.com or call 215-496-9001. Helium is located at 20th and Sansom Street in Philadelphia. And I highly recommend, I've seen the first few minutes of it, and I highly recommend the movie that we were talking about too, that he did with Ralph Macchio and Gina Gershon and David Zayas, Lost Cat Corona, which is available on Amazon, iTunes, and Vimeo on demand. So far, it's really good. So, always
couldn't finish it.
I couldn't keep my eyes open last night. I was exhausted.
Oh, hear that, Adam? He's calling your movie boring.
No. And I purposely did not say those words when he was on the show because I didn't want to give that impression. But that had nothing to do with him. I just was exhausted yesterday. Had a very draining day. So
very draining life.
I added a new commercial in for you, and I know you were out smoking and didn't hear
it. I heard it. Apostle BG?
Yes.
Love him. We need to get Josh Robert Thompson back on this show.
I
want to reach out. I think we should pull a clip of this and say that Josh, I really want to get him back on the show. I know you're a huge fan.
Yes.
That was one of the first times, besides like the Colin Quinn interview, and I think there was like one other one. But I when you told me that we got him on the show the first time, I mean, you were ecstatic. You're a huge fan of
yes.
him, and you were really excited to get him on.
I had known of his work on The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, and I think it was bad timing. And I'm just going to say this for the record. I listened to today, as a matter of fact, I listened to the newest incarnation of the Josh Robert Thompson podcast, Joshing Around.
Yeah.
And he mentions that he was going through some shit around the time that we had him on. And so I'm wondering if maybe that played into, because I was being a fanboy. I really was.
Yeah.
About some of his late show stuff. And I think, I don't know if that put a bad taste in his mouth or what, but
yeah.
I promise not to fanboy out about that stuff this time. And we would love to have him back on the show.
I would just love to talk to him about, I mean, he hates Facebook, which I'm in the same boat.
He likes it insofar as that's where he does his new.
Sure, sure.
You know, the Joshing Around podcast live from.
Yeah, yeah. But like he hates Vine stars. He hates
in that regard,
really shitty Facebook. Like Vine, YouTube, quote unquote comedians. Who are like 13-year-old boys and girls who are, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which I love. I just love hearing him rant about shit. And I love when he watches his live streams or his podcast. He just, like on his old Periscopes, he still does it a lot, where he just literally will call out someone like negatively commenting. He'll just call him out so bad, so meanly and angrily and hilariously.
Yeah.
I love it.
It really is a great show. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. It's you can hear it on SoundCloud, or he does it live on Facebook. If you can go to JRT Show, thejrtshow.com, you can get the links from there. But it's the Joshing Around podcast, and it really is. If you like comedy, you really will like his podcast.
He's hilarious, man.
The voices in his head have got to be just. And I mean this in a good way. Like, he's always constantly switching gears and switching characters, and he's just always on. And I can't imagine that you don't just get exhausted from doing that after a while.
I don't think he does. That's what's so great about him. And again, that's why you are a little right. If you go back and listen to that on our go to RadioFreaks.tv episodes, you'll find him when he was on our show.
Oh, I fanboyed out hardcore.
You fanned out. You fanboyed out, and I think I'd mentioned it, because I felt he was, you know, he was a little, back then he was a little at odds with the whole situation, I think.
And he discussed it in that first episode. If you go and listen to the Joshing Around podcast, he was dealing with being on a show for 8 years, and now what the fuck do I do? Which I can certainly understand that. I mean, you've gone through that recently with your job. I've gone through it a few times, so I can certainly understand that.
Yeah, no, I would love to have him back. I think we should really reach out and see what strings we can pull. If not, just get on our hands and knees and do whatever we need to do. If you know what I mean.
Whatever you need to do.
What? I mean, what am I, the talent booker now? That's what I got to do, I guess.
The talent booker and everything else falls under my department, but I'm going to sublet that work out to you in this case.
I'll take one for the team if it gets us some ratings.
How many times have you said that?
A lot.
I'll take one for the team. Hi, Daddy. Anyway.
It's about time you get some shots in on me. I've been killing the last few weeks. The weather here is so fucking shitty right now, by the way.
Is it?
There's like tornadoes in southern Kentucky or something. High winds just fucking shit up.
I saw that. It was ridiculous.
Can't even smoke outside. It's so windy.
Huh.
It's awful. I don't know why that's a topic. I don't know. How about that weather?
How about that weather?
Yikes. You think I'd be good at this?
News decent. And weather on the 8s. Right here on the Radio Freaks.
That'll be my new bit. Weatherman. How about Suicide Man? Suicide. All right. Ding, ding, ding.
Wow.
Oh, that's an old reference. Linger, linger.
I'm very excited, speaking of Linger Longer.
Yeah.
I will be, for those of you that are interested in joining us, you're welcome to. I will be heading up to Strong Island. Shit, when is that? Is it next weekend? Let's see. No. Yes, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. I'll be heading up to Long Island to spend the Sunday, which would be March 12th, sequestered inside F.H. Riley's, as I do every year, for the Huntington St. Patrick's Day Parade. Oh. And the most of the parade that I see is when the bagpipers are done with the parade and they come in and they play a few songs inside the bar.
You know what? I wish I didn't have bills to catch up on and other things because with my tax return, I should have bought a ticket to come out to see you.
That's all right.
And I it would have been a good time too, and I just it slipped my mind. Maybe I'll have to look at some prices.
I have to say that speaking of tax returns, boy, was I woefully unhappy with our taxes this year.
I'll be honest, I was ecstatic, even though the Department of Education automatically took out half of mine. But the good news is I don't owe them any more money.
Oh, well, that's good. And they left you half of it.
They took my whole return last year. And whatever was left, they took this year. So right. I still, you know, got a nice chunk.
But it's off the table now, so that's good.
Yes, fucking student loans. Jesus. I mean, they are kids out there. Again, go listen to my show, Bastardist Radio. Search it on iTunes, Bastardist Radio. Go follow it on Twitter, at Bastardist. Bastard IST. But kids, I mean, God, student loans are no joke. You think it's free money. You think it's, well, your parents can co-sign and it's all, no, it's not. It's doesn't no joke. And mine were very low. I mean, I only owed like $6,000. But still, I mean...
Does not go away.
Don't go to college.
And the other thing too is, well, no, not don't go.
No,
to college.
Find out what your skill is.
Debbie's been going to school while working, and the thing with the reason why I was woefully disappointed with our taxes this year is, she worked 3 hours, 3 hours too much to qualify for the education benefit. Three hours.
I mean, it's all red tape. It's all. Politics, government, it's
3 hours and we missed out on $1,300.
And again, she's an adult too, which is even.
We are going to have to take out a student loan. She's got to finish up with her clinicals. I think the end of this year. So she starts clinicals and we're going to have to take out a student loan for that. So
it's a scam. It truly is. Especially nowadays.
Long run, it'll be beneficial because she'll practically be a doctor by the time she's done. But getting for there her,
yes.
is a whole other story.
I'm talking more of the kid straight out of high school who thinks, again, that going to college for we'll 4 years, being $200,000 or whatever it may be for a decent school for whatever, yeah, you know, being that much of debt and thinking it's a magic pill that. You do nothing, party for 4 years to get decent grade. Once you're done, magic happens, and then you have a job, and you can pay for it all. It doesn't work that way.
No. No.
And these are the things we talk about on Bastardist Radio. Actually, no, this weekend I will be talking with my friend, hopefully co-host, about, because he's a college dropout, I'm a college kickout, And he's a very, very successful engineer, even though he's a college dropout. So we'll be talking in depth about why college is a waste of time and money and ways to, you know, overcome that nonsense that is college.
I honestly, I went to a few years of college as an adult. I didn't have the money to do it as a kid. And I think that's probably one of my biggest regrets in life is that I never actually got a degree. So I'm going to be working on that.
Well, see, I think the thing is, though, you have a skill.
I do have a skill, but I it was still a learned skill. I still went to a trade school to learn how to become an EMT.
So what? You still have a great career.
I have an okay career. It can always be better. It can always be better. No matter what career you have, it can always be better.
Yeah, but you actually have a career. The thing is, you have a career and you don't have a job. Understand the difference?
Right.
People don't understand that.
There's a big difference between having a job and having a career. Having a job means you can work at Burger King today and wait tables tomorrow and, I don't know, be fucking giving away your sperm the day after that. But having a career, yeah, you're pretty much doing the same job for many, many and years, even if it's for different people.
And by the way, I literally lived with a few kids who sold their sperm and blood every week just to pay for college or pay for groceries because they were in college.
I couldn't do that shit. We can't get too deep into this because we have a guest. But
again, by the way, if you want to hear this kind of talk, just go subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. Search Bastardist.
All right, you plugged it three times already. Jesus Christ. But I could not do that. I couldn't sell my sperm to a sperm bank because then I might have kids out there that I wouldn't know, and I wouldn't. I just mentally, I wouldn't be able to get past the whole that I have kids that I don't know thing.
I swear to God, one of the guys that I lived with at OSU, he gave plasma. You can only give it once a week, but he gave it literally every single week to make rent, just so he can make rent and eat and pay for college.
Now, see, I've given away platelets before. It's not the same as plasma, but I've given away platelets before, and I never got paid for it.
But he did it every week.
Wow.
And I think he got $50.
That's crazy.
A week, just for, but he had to go give plasma every single week. I mean, I hate needles. I couldn't even fathom doing that.
Yeah, I've been stuck enough times with being sick. I don't need to get stuck any more times.
Yeah, it's insane.
So, anyway,
anywho,
it's time to switch gears. Our next guest has a clothing line that we're going to talk to her about, Intimate Lingerie, and she will be appearing at the Exotica convention in Denver from the 31st of March through April 2nd, and then Chicago, June 23rd through the 25th, and then right here in Exotica Edison in New Jersey, November 3rd through November 5th. She's also a host on her own podcast, Chocolate Radio, live on Tuesdays on the Ripped Radio Network. Our guest at this time, Naomi Banks. How are you, Naomi?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
I'm drunk. How are you?
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Wait,
I don't know.
Say that again?
Tony said he's drunk. That's nothing new. That's nothing new at all.
Fucking lit up.
I'm surprised that he wasn't drunk earlier. Usually, by the second half of the show, he's usually pretty well lit, if not before then. So
what's wrong with being lit? What's wrong with being lit?
Not in the popular vernacular. I'm talking about being three sheets to the wind.
Oh, damn it. I was trying to be cool hip guy. It didn't work.
Yeah, apparently. You're not cool hip guy any more than I am.
No.
I'm glad you agreed.
So you're quasi-retired now from the industry. What does quasi-retired mean exactly?
I don't know what quasi mean, but semi. I'm semi-retired.
Same thing, different word, same thing.
Like I've never heard that word before.
Really?
But by meaning semi-retired is because, you know, those movies will always be out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can walk out the door and somebody can say, oh, there goes Naomi. So there's always a new person that's watching me suck someone's dick. You understand what I'm saying? So that is going to always be out there. And plus, I still, you know, dabble behind scenes with it. I'm just no longer in front of the camera.
Gotcha. So you might be doing like directing or something like that, but you're not doing any in front of the camera stuff.
Right.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And exactly. Have you kind of replaced things with this? You have an intimate apparel line. Have you kind of replaced your time with that? Are you doing that full time now? Or?
Well, yeah, mostly what I'm doing right now is just doing, I'm building my brand, entrepreneur. Type of stuff. I got my radio show. It actually was an entire station, and I kind of shut it down last year. Chocolate Radio, the live show.
Okay.
I actually broadcast that on my website, chocolateradiotheliveshow.com, as well as Radio Network. And then I have a makeup line that's out right now that's called A Kiss Cosmetics, as well as my new venture with it, which is my intimate apparel. And my design. So one, I have an intimate lingerie line that's coming out that I'm actually debuting at Exotica, as you said before, in Denver, Chicago, and in New Jersey for this year. And then I have a retail, online retail store for lingerie. So with the IS by Naomi Banks, that's all custom designed by me personally. Like, I just took probably a good 20 minutes out of my time to come and talk to you guys while I was up there sewing with my own little hands and my machine.
Interesting. So you mm-hmm. from everything, from concept to finishing it out, is all done by you then?
Oh, yes, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah. And do you come up with the ideas, or is it something that the customer gives you an idea of roughly what they want, and then you put something on paper, or how does it all work?
No, actually, this is all ideas from my head, like totally what I feel that a woman is sexy, you know, in lingerie, or what I feel that I might look sexy in lingerie, as well as for men. So I do have a man line that I'm also designing, too.
Interesting.
You know, I will have smoking jackets for the men, as well as, you know, a combination coordinate silk pajama pants, you know, stuff like that. So my whole thing is I'm using my brand as Naomi Banks. I sell sex. You understand what I'm saying? So for me to have created this brand, I need to continue it on. Since I'm no longer, you know, performing in front of the camera, I need to continue to build this this brand with everything else. So I'm catering to sexy women, sexy men, couples, like everything. I got so many things just down on my list of things that I'm going to do in the next few years that sexy is going to be top on everyone's list. Sexy will definitely be back.
Where did you get the idea to go into doing lingerie as a replacement for your work in front of the camera?
Because I always loved lingerie. I've always loved clothing. I actually had a clothing line even before that I got into porn. Actually had a swimsuit line that I actually created. And then I didn't really, you know, put it out there, but I did a few calendars with it and stuff like that. But now I'm actually pushing forward with, you know, with the lingerie line.
Nice. All right, so it's got to be pretty labor intensive to do all of that from start to finish. Do you get ideas from modern lingerie things that are out there now, or is this all stuff that's like people have never seen this kind of stuff before?
Well, you know, let's be honest. Some things I look at and I say, oh, that looks nice. Maybe if I do this with this and that, you know, something like that. But a lot of the stuff comes from my head as well. You understand what I'm saying? So I look at something, some of the stuff is, you know, I say, oh, I like that. I'm kind of inspired by that. And then I just go from things that I would want to see or, you know, old sketches that I had back in high school that I've never done. So I'm, you know, kind of bringing those and creating those, bringing that all into one and putting those styles out.
Nice. You mentioned smoking jackets for guys. That's something that kind of has fallen by the wayside, but it's really, really like one of those things that's classic cool. You saw, you know, guys used to have smoking jackets, and that was sophistication and money and that kind of stuff, and you don't see that a lot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
something? And that's something that I really want. Yeah, it is. It's something that I really wanted to cater to. And the thing is that, you know, back in the day when you saw the smoking jackets, it was like a Hugh Hefner type of thing.
Sure.
You know? So now I wanted to kind of play off it and make it a little bit fun, make it a little bit more bold, you know, with more print, you know, type of styles. You know, because even right now today, you have the age group that's in their mid-20s to like 45, they're not afraid to wear those bold colors right now.
Right.
And don't mind being sexy. I think the new trend right now is cigar bar. You know, you go to
yes.
these different cigar bars and, you know, people have these little cigar parties and stuff like that. And I think that'll be, you know, a really good asset, you know, for them to be able to go out, you know, on a night with their little smoking jacket on, or even just be at the house, you know, be kicked up, a nice little, you know, silk or satin smoking jacket, you know, with their ladies.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially because, like, in fashion, it's a, what is it, 10, 20 year trend where the, you know, like the 70s trends are coming back now, 80s,
mm-hmm.
60s.
Mm-hmm.
But even like the rappers are wearing just, you know, completely, you know, they'll wear a smoking jacket with skinny jeans with holes in it to be like, oh, I'm, mm-hmm. everyone's buying smoking jackets now. You know what I mean? Which
mm-hmm.
that could be your big thing. You know, you get Young Thug to wear mm-hmm. a smoking jacket, and everyone's buying smoking jackets.
Right, a big bright paisley one.
There you go.
Yeah, some weird pattern in the color, and everyone's buying it now. It's crazy.
Exactly.
What,
exactly.
What when you said lingerie for guys, what? That's not something that most people normally think of as an accessory for guys. Most people think lingerie is for women. What do you have in your line that would be for a guy aside from, say, like a smoking jacket or something like that, as far as like lingerie?
Right, but what I say for men, I don't say lingerie for men. I say intimate loungewear for
All right.
men.
All right.
And for them, I have silk pajama bottoms and tops,
nice.
Shorts. You know, things of that sort. They have different colors, you know, different makes and things, different cuts, you know, even with the jackets and the coordinates and the shirts, you know, they'll be, you know, totally different cuts. Is it something that we've probably seen before? Maybe, yeah, but it will be have some different colors, you know, different, you know, kind of pattern to it, you know, different embroidery on it. So it kind of have, you know, a Naomi spin on it.
Nice.
You know, like that, you know, on it to where, you know, I'm kind of putting my mark on it. Now make it a little sexy, a little funky, you
nice.
Know, just,
yeah.
you know, bring it in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like a sexy men's like lingerie / nightwear. Like, for instance, like I would love assless basketball shorts to go to bed in. Like, that's sexy for me. You know, I sleep
oh,
in
nice.
Basketball
mm-hmm.
shorts. Silk mm-hmm. basketball shorts mm-hmm. with no ass.
So basketball shorts, yeah.
Why no ass, Tony?
Just trying to be funny.
See, he tried to slip that in there, and he thinks that we're not going to hear that stuff. He always got to be a smart ass.
Like, what would be like? What am I going to wear? Like a thong to bed? Like, my girl would be like, "What's wrong with you?"
No, but you could wear boxers or something like that. A pair of silk boxers. She wouldn't appreciate that.
Who wears boxers anymore?
I wear shorts all the time when I'm lounging around the house. It's the same thing, really.
That's called a curtain.
Is it?
No, oh.
All right, motherfucker. Shots fired, bitch. Go ahead.
Right.
I'm kind of built like more along the lines of, say, a DJ Khaled, a little bigger guy. But,
Rick
oh,
Ross.
Okay, okay.
Rick Ross. I think Louis Armstrong.
What? Why? Why do you? This is, what is this? Take shots at Brian all of a sudden?
I don't know. You're an easy target.
I am an easy target.
My thing always has been, Naomi, about men is we have no fashion choices. We have pants, jeans, t-shirts, dress shirts. That's
it.
That's
true.
You guys got skirts.
Really?
Dresses. I mean, really, you guys got skirts, dresses. You guys got so much. It's unfair.
Well, Young Thug, he wears a dress. A kilt.
So true. But only certain people.
And leggings. I mean, I see some guys wearing leggings as well. Like
RuPaul has a lot to wear. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I don't know where you think that guys don't have a lot to wear. He has plenty to wear.
I guess going by standard gender norms, I don't want to offend anybody. But we really don't have a lot of choices, and it sometimes frustrates me. I get made fun of wearing skinny jeans all the time.
Well, it's because you're a hipster homo. That's why.
Well, it's offensive. Very offensive. Very offensive. What I was going to say is,
you guys are definitely going to...
I was just going to say, it's very cool that you're also, besides the lingerie stuff, you're also wanting to break into different men's fashion that isn't, you know, the norm. That's pretty awesome.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not the norm. I'm not your ordinary porn chick.
And you're going to be debuting this new line at Exotica. What made you want to pick Exotica?
Exactly. Well, you know, because, you know, Exotica has always been very good to me. We always had a great relationship, even when I was there, you know, filming my own stuff and signing and, you know, and meeting with fans.
Right.
And I just thought that that would be a great place for me to be able to use that platform, especially with my fans, that I can kind of open it up there first and then give it to the rest of the world. I mean, because... Nice. Exotica is, we know we're selling sex. We're selling sexy. That is what we do. That is my home. So what better way to show it off there first and then take it to the world?
Nice. Very nice. So you're going to be doing it. The event's going to take place in your booth, and it's just going to be like, is it going to be like a runway, or is it going to be like all the different designs are going to be on display, or?
Well, actually, I will have a booth, but also I will be doing a 15-minute fashion show all 3 days. So from Friday to Sunday,
up on the main
stage, I will
be
doing a 15-minute fashion show with all of my designs,
nice.
Both men and women,
nice.
On the main stage.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
That's a perfect market for you.
Yeah, it really is. You can capitalize on
mm-hmm.
your brand already and then introduce them to the new project that you're working on.
And then maybe the next porn,
exactly.
I'll be like, oh, that's a she's wearing a Naomi. Nice. I know that one. I know that piece.
You won an AVN award this year for your part as Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad XXX, which is, of course, the parody of the movie by the same name. Would you consider yourself to be comic book savvy? Is that something that you're into, or was it just a role that you did?
It was just a role that I did. I'm just going to be honest. It was just a role that I did. Honestly, they had called me in to do a favor, Lex and Axel. And I said, sure, I'll come on and do it. I thought it would be fun. And it was fun. It was fun. It was great. I won a damn award.
Hey, he picked the right person for the job, obviously, even though you're not.
Yeah, it was fun.
That. Go ahead.
Hello?
Oh, I thought we lost you there for a minute.
No, I'm here.
You said it was
no,
fun.
No, it was truly fun. It was fun. It was great to be back on set, you know, and see a lot of people because I have been off the set for 4 years. I haven't
wow.
been, you know, performing and on set for about 4 years. So even me coming back, you know, and even doing that part, it was good just seeing everyone. And just touching base with everyone, it was cool. And even going back to ABN just a month ago, it was great as well. I mean, it was truly good to, you know, to see our community, you know, period. It was good.
Did that kind of get your I'm trying to think of the right words to use. Did you that kind of give you the idea that maybe you might want to get back in front of the camera again, seeing as this is the first time that you've won an ABN award? You've been nominated, but this is the first time you've won. Did that change your idea about maybe wanting to do it again, or?
You know what? I'm going to be very honest with you, Brian. At first I thought, yeah, because I didn't leave the way I wanted to leave.
Right.
I stopped doing porn because I became pregnant. I got pregnant. So I thought that was my sign. All right, it's time to get out. You
right.
know, let me, you know, do my family thing. And, you know, and that was it. And I, when I left, I was at the top of my game. So it was certain things that I still didn't accomplish that was a part of my goals being in the industry.
Right.
And when I thought about it and then I looked at, wow, you're not as small as you used to. You got them, you know, you look thick now, you know. I'm not going to lie to the rest of my head. Like, wait a minute, you're sticking in a snicker right now. I don't know if that's, you know, if that's too sexy to be back on camera.
Right.
But what I did do is while I was there, I actually was able to talk to a lot of the young ladies that's new in the industry and that's in the industry right now, you know, and I'm thinking about, you know, actually mentoring them to, you know, to possibly, you know, be able to continue building their brand and to build their brand. So when they're finished, you know, fucking on camera and stuff like that, that they can still be able to make money with their name. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
As well as even, you know, a friend of mine, he wants to get into the industry. He's been shooting for some years and never released the film. So I found myself, you know, holding the camera and directing the whole weekend that I was there at ABN. So it kind of put a pump, like, you know, I really want to, you know, I'm thinking about putting out content that I would like to see. You know, I've always wanted to, you know, really do something really big, especially when it comes to women of color in the industry. So that's something that I've been thinking about, too. But I'm just going to hold off on that for a minute. You know, I just want to, you know, focus on, you know, building my brand right here. And then I'll, you know, maybe take a few steps back in.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, go back that way.
That's kind of what you said before, is with your lingerie and your line and your radio show, you're doing things you want to hear, and you're doing lingerie and clothing that you would like to wear. And, like, you know what I mean? So it's kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can come. You know, come back to it after you, like you said, you build your brand, and then you can, you know, regroup and be like, all right, now I'm going to do stuff I want to see. Fuck everybody else.
Right.
Stuff I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great,
right. That's
a great point to be in your career.
Right. And that's the thing. That's my new thing. I'm doing it my way this time. I'm not done yet. I'm not done with the industry just yet. I don't know if I ever be done with the industry, I'm not done yet. So yeah.
There's women out there. You talk about maybe you're too big for the industry, but there's women out there, like our good friend Kelly Shibari, who's a beautiful actress and very, very popular in the industry, and she's a bigger girl too. There's obviously a market for it. It's just a matter of whether you want to do that or not, I think.
I'm going to be very honest. I am not a BBW woman. I wasn't born that way, and I won't be that way. I'm just saying. The thing is that what turns me on is if I'm looking at myself in the mirror and it's not sexy to me, I don't give a damn what nobody else say. But if it's not sexy to me, then it's just not sexy to me.
Right.
I mean, even the way that I look now, people say, oh, my God, Naomi, you look so good. And I'm like, no, I don't. You know I can never be back that small that I was before.
Sure.
But I know there's things that I need to work on because, you know, one thing is that I do, I am a producer, you know, so I know once you're on camera, that's an extra 10, 20 pounds. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, I don't want that. Let me take that away. So I'm going to leave that to Kelly and them. I'm going to leave that lane to them, and I'm going to stick to my grown women curves over here. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Yeah.
I just we're all about positive body image on this show, especially considering I'm a big fat fuck too, so I can't really say anything about anybody else. But we truly believe that there's, you know, we've said it on the show many, many times. If there's something that somebody's into, they should not feel like an outcast for liking certain things, because if you're into it, there's a million other people out there that are also into it. So, but I can appreciate. I can appreciate what you're saying, too, is that if you are not happy with how you look personally, then you cannot portray somebody that's sexy on camera just for the sake of putting out a film. So I can understand that, too.
Right, no. You know, that's one thing about me is that even in the industry, I've always been true in front of the cameras, even with every emotion and every feeling that I did. I got to experience a lot of things on camera. So, you know, when I got into the industry, I was a grown woman. I wasn't, you know, 19, 20 years old. I was 30-something years old.
Right.
You know, so I was a grown woman. I kind of knew exactly what I wanted to do. But I learned a lot about myself sexually on camera and what I liked and what I didn't like. Huh. So a lot of the things that people saw me go through and even the reactions, those were true reactions that I was having because those were feelings that I hadn't had before in my regular life.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like you learned as you went along what you liked, what you didn't like. It wasn't something that you walked in with.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And that's funny because it that really carries over to any career. I mean, not just the adult. It's like
well, we've said it on this show too. Is it takes you out of a scene if you're watching it to to watch somebody that's not giving a genuine performance. You can almost kind of tell when they're not into the scene. And it takes you as a viewer out of that scene as well. You're much more immersive if you believe the actors are actually enjoying themselves. If you see somebody laying there like a dead fish, or that they're not having a good time, you can tell, I think, inherently in most movies, you can tell. And for me, that takes me out of it. I don't know if that works that way for everybody, but for me, that takes me out of a scene.
Yeah,
and that's kind of hard, especially when you have somebody and they just going, ooh, ah, and you know it's fake, you just want to choke the shit out of them.
Right.
Okay.
No,
I just had a, I just, deja vu there.
You had a flashback.
Let's talk about
exactly.
Let's talk about Chocolate Radio a little bit. What is Chocolate Radio, and what would somebody expect to hear if they tuned in?
Well, Chocolate Radio, that is my baby. Actually, I've had Chocolate Radio probably about oh my God, I want to say maybe 6 years. 7 years, 7 years, seven years. I started off over there at Playboy on Sirius XM, and it wasn't Chocolate Radio then. I was under another show for 2 years. And then when Manwin came in and took over for Playboy Radio, they actually gave me a chance to allow me to, you know, to name the show that I wanted to, and I named it Chocolate Radio. You know, I was the only chocolate that was on the roster at that time, so I figured this would be my little two-hour slot.
Nice.
But what Chocolate Radio is all about, this is where it is real, raw, and uncut radio. This is where we have so much fun. We allow our viewers to come in and to experience things with us. And the thing is that I mentioned before is when I got into the industry, I actually learned a lot about myself sexually. And when you're younger, I'm from the Midwest, and when I was a young girl, it was always taught that it's wrong to, you know, either you're a fast tail little girl or something like that. You know, you're not supposed to have these urges, you know, to do anything. You know what I'm saying? And just keep to that one man, and you only do it, you know, missionary style, and that's it.
Sure.
With Chocolate Radio, we want to be able to, for people to learn about their sexuality and be open about their sexuality, because we're all sexual beings. We have fun. You know, we gossip. We talk about gossip. You know, we just a no-holds-bar type of radio show. We got porn stars on there. We have celebrities on there. We have it from, you know, just everybody comes through at times, and we just have a good-ass time. Just, you know, really keep it real, raw, and uncut.
Nice. That's what we try and do over here, too. It's pretty much a no-holds-barred, whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about kind of a show, and it's a very relaxed hang. There's not a whole lot of structure to the show or anything. We hit the key points, but we could have a conversation really about anything, and it would be a good show, in our opinion. So.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like we try to have a party. We really do. We try to have a nice little home party. You know, sometimes we play like games like, you know, truth or dare. Like yesterday, actually, on the show, we played strip taboo.
Oh. Interesting.
You know, so we try to do a lot of things like that, you know, especially when we have guests, to make them, you know, kind of comfortable, and for our viewers to know that, you know, because at the end of the day, we're still porn stars, and what they know us by is about our sexual being in our bodies and things of that sort, you know. So I try to give that to them, you know, with our guests, and even, you know, ask the questions so they can